Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart, and our wonderful opera brought to our attention a fantastic show that's being mounted. And I thought, oh, I have to cover this. Opera Santa Barbara, their byline is Life Set to Music. Costis Protopapas, who's just a incredible, I don't know what you call him, he's artistic and general director, but he is one of these people that is so open to all kinds of art forms, and I've always been fascinated. So he's helping with this Broadway meets opera, The Light in the Piazza at Center Stage Theater. And we were, you know, talking with Costis or emailing Costis, and he was sending us links of the rehearsals and how cool that was. And I thought, I got to find out more about this. And Costis introduced me to Timothy Accurso, who is the director of the Chrisman Studios, and they are mounting the production. And with us today, we've got a couple of performers and stage folks to talk about the production. But I'm wanting to introduce Timothy first, and then Timothy's going to introduce by name some of the performers that are with us on the radio. And then I'll introduce a little further the performers, because I've got bios on them and done some research last night on the performers. And I have to say, Timothy, I'm so impressed with you, because you're artistic director of the Santa Barbara Gay Men's Chorus. And I'm older than you, and I went through some interesting times during the AIDS crisis. And I had a really close flatmate who was sick. And he had amazing voice. And this is years ago. This is the 80s. He had an amazing voice. And I got him involved with the San Diego Gay Men's Chorus. And he said that he felt so alive, you know, in the midst of the ravages of the disease, he felt so alive singing. And the chorus actually, you know, this was kind of his life for the last year of his life or so. And when he passed, the chorus went to the Rose Garden with a bunch of balloons and sang. Oh, I'm going to get teary-eyed now. And launched the balloons in the Rose Garden as a memorial to my friend John. And it was just amazing the connections that he made, you know, that last year with the Gay Men's Chorus, and just loved it. And I could hear him practicing, you know, the last year. He couldn't really walk anymore, but I could hear him practicing. It was great. It was fantastic.
Wow, thanks for sharing that about you.
That's just amazing. When I read that about you, I was like, oh, God, we just need more people like Timothy in our lives. Timothy is a principal pianist and director of the Chrisman Studio, as we said. And I was amazed, too, because usually, hey, Richard, this is going to sound funny, but, you know, for years, Timothy, my background is in ballet. And so for years, I worked with dancers and artists, kinetic artists. And what's interesting is that nobody could write an email the way you wrote me an email. And I thought to myself, this is because he's a pianist and he's got that logical side and probably good at math. And so he probably can logic through a really cohesive statement of how he'd like the show today to go, and the emails and et cetera were perfect. And I thought, this is the difference between a hoofer, which is what we used to be called, and a pianist.
Well, I assure you that I cannot move my feet and at the same time, so which is also why I stay away from the organ. So dancing an organ was tough for me.
Have you seen that guy that plays the organ? He's kind of flashy, kind of Liberace kind of guy. And he
Oh,
had
he was just—I'm blanking, but he was just in Santa Barbara. Last, Cameron.
Cameron, that's right. That's right.
I'm
Amazing to watch the
blanking.
guy.
Yeah, what a great concert that was at the Granada. That was, yeah.
You were there.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss it. He's.
Okay. Well, I want to know. Okay, first of all, there's more to Timothy here. Born in Glen Lyon, Pennsylvania. He lives in Santa Barbara. He's been with Opera Santa Barbara since fall of 2018. As I said, artistic director, Santa Barbara Gay Men's Chorus, really big place in my heart. Pirates of Penzance, Utah Opera, April 20, 2022. Palm Beach Opera Music Staff, 2018. Opera Saratoga Music Staff, kind of an interesting place for opera, 2016, 2018. You have to know. As artistic director of the Santa Barbara Gay Men's Chorus, there's a concert going to happen May 22nd here in Santa Barbara, and I'll be there for sure. Santa Barbara First United Methodist Church. I think you've performed there before. Yeah, so I was at, I think, one or two concerts there.
Oh, wonderful.
The Valkyries, he's helping with the Valkyrie, which is also on the Santa Barbara Opera list. And La Traviata in Opera Las Vegas in June. Okay, tell us about Chrisman Studio, Timothy, and then maybe we could segue to introducing some of the performers and the stage folks that you've brought to us today.
Of course. First of all, thank you for having us today. So the Chrisman Studio Artist Program, studio artist programs or resident artist programs, sometimes they're called young artist programs, are a feature of most opera companies now. And it's they're professional singers, but they're at the beginnings of their career usually. So usually these programs offer training and then role experience as well. So in the past we've had four artists, and usually we kind of have one of each voice type, so a soprano, a mezzo, a tenor, and then a baritone or a bass. And Costis and I, a few years ago, it was probably about 3 years ago now, right before the pandemic, we had auditions, and everyone was just so good. And we're like, it's so sad that we only have four slots to fill. And when you only have four, and you have a whole season, and so many things to accommodate for, we found that the type of singer we needed was so specific, and they had to be so good at so many things. And I felt like a lot of people were getting lost in the mix, even though they had great potential and had a lot to offer. So we decided to expand the program and kind of change some of our goals. So we decided that we really wanted to highlight California talent. We wanted to build on this regional and local talent. So we started only looking for California-based artists. And then we decided that we wouldn't have them live in Santa Barbara for the entirety of the season. In the past, those four artists would stay with us for the whole season, pretty much from October until April or May. And we decided that this way we'll focus on California talent who hopefully can get to Santa Barbara relatively easily when we need them to be here, and then just have them come contract to contract. So they'll be in Santa Barbara for 2, 3 weeks at a time. And that way they can keep, their lives at their home bases as well. And it gives them a lot more flexibility to take other work. And so that expansion happened, and we approached Roger and Sarah Chrisman, who fund the program and support us, and they were very enthusiastic about it. And so we went from having four artists to that next year we had 12 studio artists, and they came for different projects. And then this year we have nine, and we decided to put on a full production this year. Usually our studio showcase was just like a 45-minute short piece. We decided let's go all out this year and do a full production. And so to make that happen, we have up some of our current studio artists, and we also have some alumni of our program, specifically Matt and Brooklyn, who are on this call. Matt and Brooklyn were studio artists with us during the COVID year, and we just felt like we didn't really get to give them enough opportunities while they were here. So we were really excited to bring them back to do this. So with me today on this call are Matt and Brooklyn. They'll be singing Clara Johnson and Fabrizio Naccarelli, the young couple in the show. Also performing with them is Christina Pezzarossi, and she'll be singing the role of Margaret Johnson, who's the mother. And then my good friend, Lena Shanakas, who is the stage director for the show. She's done directing for Opera Santa Barbara in every capacity now. And she also has long history with the company singing as well as a mezzo. But she has directed our youth opera in the past. She's directed our studio artists, and she has directed our main stage shows, most recently Tosca this fall.
Okay, so let's go to quick break. Richard's giving us a sign. Hey, Richard.
Yes, hey, Elizabeth.
Richard. There we are. Okay, let's go to quick break. And then I want to talk with Brooklyn and Matthew when we get back from the break. And I just have to say, just a little bit bragging on Brooklyn. I mean, not only is she gorgeous, but she's got a gorgeous voice. And I see that she's got an upcoming engagement soloist at Lincoln Center Hall.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And and we're going to talk about some of her career highlights as well. And then Matthew also is something to brag about too. And so we're talking a little bit about his background. And I think they're both upcoming engagements with the Southern Illinois Music Festival coming up shortly. So we'll talk a little bit about their background and how they managed to end up as a member of the Christmas studio here in Santa Barbara for two seasons running. And you know what I have to say, Timothy, you sound to me like you and Costis are like blood brothers, because Costis is one of those people that, for example, during COVID, I happened to just mention to Costis, Costis, you know, I've been walking around my neighborhood. It was at the beginning of the pandemic, walking my dog, and there's this young guy who stands on top of his roof, you know, straddles the roof and plays flamenco guitar. And Costi said, find him, bring him to me. I want to know. And it's just like, now when you said that you had to expand Chrisman because of the difference, you couldn't have a voice that would go through all of the panoply of the various genres. That sounds like Costi's to me, like, okay, it's music. It's all music. Let's welcome it all. And I love that. I mean, my mom used to be, my mom's a pianist, and she's one of the first female graduates from Juilliard in conducting way back when. She was born in 29. And but my mom was accompanist for the Lyric. And she knew of Costis, as a matter of fact, and Costis' wife at the Lyric. So she was a pianist and two hands performer, four hands performer, and director of Sweet Adelines and the Melodieurs choirs. And so she was talking to me about this idea of all music is music. And I just think that's fantastic when we talk about, you know, all of what you're doing with Chrisman there. Okay, Richard's giving us a quick break. Let's go to quick break, and we'll get back from the break. I want to brag a little on Matthew and Brooklyn. All right, Richard.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Hey, Richard.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Well, anyway, I got to say, Richard is going to, he pulled together some of the music that Timothy sent us. And so we're going to go in and out of break with some of the music of the, little bits and pieces of the recording from The Light in the Piazza. Hey, Richard, are you there?
I am here, Elizabeth.
Okay, we'll go to quick break. And like I said, we're music from In and Out from Piazza. Don't turn that down.
Stand by.
La
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're celebrating The Light in the Piazza, which is a performance. And I just want to give a shout out. So it's under the auspices of the Chisman Studio Artists of the Opera Santa Barbara. And we are going to just tell you that it's limited seating. It's at the Center Stage Theater. And it's Broadway at its best. So the opening night is Thursday, and then Friday and Thursday, March the 23rd, at 7:30 p.m. And the opening night is also a night that you can meet and greet. So it includes a reception for under $60. So you can go online and check that out. And then Friday and Saturday and Sunday, at Friday is March 24th at 7:30 p.m. And then we have the matinee, another Saturday and the matinee on Sunday. So if you are interested, those tickets are under $40. So this is not a Broadway ticket price, but you get a Broadway show. I mean, it's so it's worth looking into. You can just look at Opera Santa Barbara and all the ticket information is there. So we're going to brag on two of the performers. So we've got, if you know the play, if you know the Broadway play, Light in the Piazza, so, you know, a young woman is falling in love with life and men, secondarily or primarily, depends how you look at it. And so her love interest in the performance, Fabrizio Naccarelli, is played by Matthew Greenblatt. And so a little bit about Brooklyn. She's got such a unique name, Brooklyn Snow. It's sort of like a picture. Okay, well, let's not say, you know, those of us have a certain age and we remember Brooklyn before it was Brooklyn. And when I picture Brooklyn Snow in the 70s, I picture, well, that's great. It's snow. We don't have to look at Brooklyn anymore. And now it's just gorgeous. So Brooklyn Snow is born in Beaverton, Oregon, lives in Newburgh, Oregon. And she's performed at Opera Santa Barbara many roles. Semele, which is 2022.
I was just a cover for that.
Just a cover, okay.
Yeah.
Vogelinda, Rose in the Statue of Venus.
Yeah.
And then Jake Heggie and Narina and Don Pascal. And then some career highlights she mentions. Musetta in La Boheme. And that's at the Eugene Opera.
Yeah.
2023. Hey guys, Carnegie Hall soloist. 2022. Maria in West Side Story with the New Philharmonic Orchestra in Chicago. 2022. Nanette in Falstaff. That must have been cute. 2022. Anne in A Little Night Music. 2022. The Triumvirate, Olympia Antonia Giulietta in The Tales of Hoffman, 2021. And then Candide in 2019. And then, like we said, she's going to go on at upcoming engagements as soloist at Lincoln Center Hall. So, Brooklyn, I was trying to figure out a question for you, but I picture how high school must have been for you. Tell me.
What do you picture?
I picture, you know, Richard knows this about me, but, you know, I would not have graduated high school if there wasn't a music department and a dance department and an art department.
Yeah.
Because I could do nothing but the arts.
Yes.
And we had, now, you know, like I said, quite a bit older, but we had a bunch of kids that were either talented dancers, singers, actors, and we were a really tight group, and we are all in our late 50s, early 60s, and we're still a tight group from that music department in our high school in Illinois.
That's incredible.
And I picture it was like how I picture you is perhaps we were not cool amongst the general populace of high school. to opera, and we would get together instead of playing rock music, we'd listen to classical music. Literally, we'd get together and listen to classical music.
Wow.
And so I picture us being uncool, but then as we matured incredibly cool. And so tell me more. I'm talking too much. You tell me about your background.
Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up, I was born in Oregon, and then we moved to Hong Kong and then to Holland. We were out of the country for a little bit. And that's really where I found my love for dance and music, and was always in choir. And I came back to America and was always in choir and just loved it so much. And I kind of dabbled in a lot of different things, dance, sports, acting, whatever it was. I tried a lot of things out. And yeah, it's been a fun journey. I love singing all kinds of genres. So it's been so wonderful getting to practice Clara alongside my husband, which has been really fun. We just recently had a baby, so it's been a lot of fun.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
What's the baby's name? How old?
Her name is London. We decided to stick with the city borough theme.
We're just continuing to leave me out of that theme.
Yeah.
You know, Brooklyn and just Matt.
She's 4.5 months and she's just the best. So yeah, it's been really fun.
She's here with us now, and my parents actually came as well. So they're taking care of her while we're in the rehearsal process.
Here's a little picture of her.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I've been there, done that. You know, there she is. Richard, take a look at London.
I feel like that's your best production to date, don't you?
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So yeah. But the issue is Matthew and Brooklyn. The issue is, of course, it's hard enough being parents of a 4-month-year-old baby, because you haven't slept in a good 6 months, probably, and eaten properly and had a minute to yourself. But it's hard enough to do that and be in a Broadway production on top of it. That's doubly harder. Maybe it's a wonderful escape.
Yes.
I don't know.
We're so fortunate that Matt's parents are here to help. And yeah,
it's given them an opportunity to also spend a lot of time with their granddaughter, which they are definitely very excited about, and yeah, makes us happy. So it really has worked out, because we still get to see her when we're not in rehearsal. And we know when we are in rehearsal, she's being taken care of by my parents, who there's no one better that we could ask for. So,
yeah. Okay. So Timothy, you better quickly mount another production that will star both of them so they can continue this trajectory.
Yeah,
I know. A great way to have a child.
We'll give it a few years and get London on stage too. Yeah. So.
That's right. Can't help that. Yeah. So just very quickly, Matthew, you know, is the love interest Fabrizio Naccarelli, hometown Port Washington, New York. He also lives in Newburgh, and we find out that Brooklyn Snow is his wife. They just had a beautiful little girl four and a half months ago, London.
Yeah.
And he's previously performed the cover of Jupiter in Semele. He's a Christmas studio artist. Beyondia, in Song Cycle in 2021. He has, of course, been a wonderful Tony in West Side Story. And he's performed the New Philharmonic Orchestra in Chicago. He is also a Carnegie Hall soloist and has performed in Falstaff with Union Avenue Opera. And he, like I said, both of them will be at the Southern Illinois Music Festival this summer. And Richard's giving us a quick sign. We have to go to break, but I want to hear Matthew's experience in music growing up. I mean, the male experiences in my day was wholly different than the female experience in being a music nerd. And wondering how that fit you when
like
we get
my
back from the break.
Trajectory was similar to yours. It got cooler over time.
Yeah, right. I say to you, my partner is 10 years younger than I am, and I say, so he's from a different generation. And mm-hmm. I say, you know, it's interesting because he loves some of the great rock soloists. And mm-hmm. I said, they were in men's choirs when they were younger. So, oh, no, they definitely weren't. Definitely mm-hmm. weren't. They were not cool. I said, they were always cool. No, they weren't. They were music nerds, especially the ones that were classically trained. They didn't jump out with their boots on cool. They just weren't.
Right. You know? That was an evolution. Yeah.
Anyway, Richard, let's go to quick break. Then we get back from the break. I want to talk about Matthew. And then we also have with us Christina and Lana, and we're going to talk a little about Christina because she plays the mother, Margaret Johnson, in the production. We're going to wrap her in and brag on her a little bit. Lana is the stage director.
Lena.
A thankless job. An absolute thankless job. But
it's not thankless. It's not thankless. I love it.
Some people love it. I remember in my ballet company.
Yeah, Lena loves it.
We had a stage manager. His name was Rue. And Rue, very interesting. He named himself the Rue the Day because he was a stage manager. So he named himself
Rue. Shouldn't have done it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, why was he doing it if he didn't love it?
He loved it. He was one of those curmudgeons. You know, he loved being the stage manager. Loved to hate it, you know. In those days, smoke and spat and drank and, you know, the typical stage manager. Anyway, let's go to a quick break. When we get back from the break, I want to talk a little bit to Matthew about his experience as a music nerd growing up. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Hey. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're talking with the cast and some of the crew of Light in the Piazza. Its performance is March 23rd to the 26th at the Center Stage Theater featuring the Christmas Studio Artists. And the Christmas Studio Artists are the young artists of the Opera Santa Barbara. They have expanded their footprint from 4 studio artists to now 12 studio artists. And it's a residence program that's got a different look to it. We were talking with the two leads, Brooklyn Snow, and she was telling us a little bit about her background. And she leaked the breaking news that she and Matthew in the Light in the Piazza, they have a little girl together, four months old, London. Matthew, tell me quickly your experience growing up.
Yeah, I come from a Jewish family. And pretty much after I had my bar mitzvah, I had a lot of family members come over to me and said that they really enjoyed hearing me sing and chant the prayers. And my mom asked me if I wanted to take a voice lesson with a classical teacher. Her family is, my mom's side of the family are kind of opera fanatics. So my grandparents on my mom's side were, my grandpa was born in Vienna, and his uncle was actually an opera singer, and he sang throughout Europe before World War II. And my grandfather's mother was a concert pianist. And they were just at the opera all the time, always around it, since my great uncle, I guess, was a singer. And so it's always just been a part of my family. And so that's kind of what got me into it. And I took one lesson, and the teacher had me sing a Neapolitan art song, a few phrases from a Neapolitan art song. And I immediately fell in love with the music and just how it felt to sing that music and in that style. And I was pretty much hooked from there. So I was about 14 when I started.
You know, that is so interesting. So the DNA is there back in Vienna. And I had a sympathetic boyfriend at one point in my life, and that was the last time. But anyway, he decided that he was going to take me to Milan and Vienna and hear the operas there, because I'd always wanted to hear the opera in Vienna because of the background there. And yeah. I can remember, Matthew, leaving the opera. I think it was La Boheme, but we were leaving the opera. And first of all, it was long because, you know, you're in your box yep. and it's a good 4-6 hours that you're in there because you're, you know, they bring snacks up there. I mean, lovely delicatessen right. and wines. And, you know, it's a whole, it's an evening, long evening. And there's the divertissement usually in the middle of the opera. And so we were there. When we left, it was quite late. It was past midnight. And the entire audience was doing a critique of this, each singer.
Wow.
And they were all making plans because my parents speak German. So I spoke a lot of German growing up. Mm-hmm. So I could understand what they were saying. And they were all asking each other to go to various coffee houses to discuss the opera.
Wow. Awesome.
At 1 or 2 in the morning, it was like, wow, these people, they have it in their blood.
Yes.
Which is so fantastic that you descend from that.
Totally. Yeah. And and he was, unfortunately, his career was cut short because he died during the Holocaust, actually. So they were always, everyone in the family always wanted someone else to sing. And so after my bar mitzvah, they're like, all right, Matt, you know, it's you. Go do it.
It's sweet.
Did you know that? Did you know that?
Did I know? Yes, I was told from a young age by my grandfather about his uncle and just the history of opera and their family and just how much they wanted, how much they loved it. And I started going, I saw my first opera pretty young. So it was definitely something I was made aware of probably from the time I was 10 or something like that.
So so on that side of the family, that the side that was devoted to opera, my grandmother was a German grandmother and it obviously came over later in life, but to the States. But she was an opera fan, and she took me to Radio City Music Hall when they were doing light opera. And I remember seeing Madame Butterfly with her. I was 5. I can remember that. And I can remember that I have a good recall, and I can remember her, you know, encouraging me to sing some of the Madame Butterfly. I remember that. I remember,
wow,
you know, in the nosebleeds and hearing yep. Madame Butterfly, Puccini up there. Christina, I want to talk with Christina Richard before we go to quick break. Christina Pesarossi plays Margaret Johnson. How does a person born in Montana end up
in opera? That is a very good question. Well, I grew up on obviously country music. My dad was a gigantic country music nerd. So I grew up singing Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash and George Jones, all of those wonderful older country western singers. But my mom was a classical oboist. And when I started to get older, she introduced me to classical music, just all kinds of classical music. And she said, you know, you like to sing. I want to give you this opera, the CD of opera. And it was a CD of Maria Callas, all of her greatest hits. And I think I listened to that CD on repeat for 12 hours a day, if I could. I just the music spoke to me in a very, very crazy, weird way. And I was like, Mom, that's what I want to do. So I went from country music, riding horses, branding cows to opera. I found my way to it, I suppose.
Timothy, I see in your face you have quite a reaction to that story.
It's just amazing, everyone's path to the same art form, especially now. I mean, I think it's crazy that anyone ends up in a career in this. I mean, it's and performing is the easiest one to get into. I'm always amazed at how does someone become a props master? How does someone become a costume designer? Especially in today's world, it's those skills are so invaluable, and it's such an amalgamation of so many other art forms. It's how does someone even come to that. And it's amazing when you meet the people who do. It's they're just wizards.
So I have to say, so Matthew, my background is sort of similar to yours in the heritage, in the German heritage, Austrian heritage. My cousin, second cousin removed, or what, however that is, she is a wig mistress for an opera company in Germany.
Cool.
And so she does all the, she makes the wigs and the headpieces.
Very cool.
And yes, Timothy, there's all these specialized things that we're talking about. And while we're talking about that, let's quickly talk to Lanya Shikakis. I'm going to say this wrong. Shikakis. Did I say that right?
It's Lena Shinakis.
Lena Shinakis.
But it's a hard name. And trust me when I tell you it's been spelled and pronounced every which way, so you're not alone. It's a hard one.
Okay, now she, first of all, she's a teacher, and this is what sprung out of her bio last night to me. She's a stage director, stage manager. She's also a teacher, and I want to just say that she's won some major awards for her mounting of various operas all over the country, and we can talk a little bit about that. But she also has a private voice studio, and she teaches people of all ages from 16 to 65. And she also is a vocal director for a theater in San Jose. But she has worked with our opera, you know, for many, many performances. She won the 2021 American Prize for Opera Production for Livermore Valley's opera, A Florentine Tragedy and Giannisicchi, and then the National Opera Association third prize for Postcard from Morocco for the San Jose State Opera Theater. And then she's directed many operas for San Jose. The list is long.
We don't have to go into all that. Nope.
Okay, I'm fine. That's fine. And then she also, we talk about what she did for Opera Santa Barbara, Puccini's Tosca, Madama Butterfly. Oh no, she did that for Texas. But she's in Santa Barbara. She's directing the light in the Piazza. And then in June upcoming, she will direct La Boheme for the Santa Cruz Opera Project. And then she'll direct Tosca for Amarillo Opera in October. And so she's, you know, stage director, voice teacher. So she's got the technical skills, but hey, listen, she's also a mezzo soprano. So pretty amazing.
She does it all.
Timothy, with a whole bag of tricks. She's got them all. Yeah.
So, I think it's important now. I think we have to be very diverse in our career paths, not say no to things, and just, you know, spread your wings in a lot of different areas of what we do. So I think that's kind of, I fell into a lot of them, but somebody told me once, never say no until you absolutely have to. So that's always kind of been my philosophy in life. So, you know, well, as far as my career goes.
Also, everything that you do is so demanding of time. I mean, basically, mm-hmm. you run a voice academy for a lot of different age groups. And then I can only remember, you know, our stage directors in my past, they were there first thing, rehearsal starts, and they're still there at 3 a.m. And I don't know how they did that. It's such a time-consuming position.
It is. You have to have a team around you, right? I have two children, and they're young adults now, and I have an incredible husband who's very, very supportive. And I've honed a wonderful group of supportive people around me over the years. And I think that's really the only way to go about it, is to make your own personal community who loves you and loves what you do and supports how you do it. And that's been, for me, it's really been my husband who's been on board, and my children who understand that if one person on the team isn't happy, then the whole team isn't happy. So we have to try to follow our bliss and our passions. And they learned that at a young age. So it took some conditioning, but we all got there eventually. So
I want to go to quick break, but I'm really interested to know your thoughts on this, because I think one of the reasons that my mom and dad didn't stay together, my mom was, like I said, she was accompanist for the Lyric and in Chicago. And then, you know, she was a piano teacher. She was a choral director. She ran quite a few women's barbershop courses. And my dad could not sing. He could not play. He had no musical ability. He couldn't really understand what she was up to.
Yeah,
he didn't think it was important. So there wasn't like the support system. So my question when we get back from the break for you is, do you think that you have to have, you said your team, does your team have to understand your love for music to be part of the team? That's what I want to know, because it's something about my own past.
Okay.
That I've always wondered. Hey, Richard.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Okay, let's go to quick break. And just another shout out, Opera Santa Barbara's The Light in the Piazza with the Christmas Studio Artists. They're their young talent. March the 23rd to the 26th at Center Stage Theater. It's a smaller theater, gang. So, dear listener, it's a 120-seat theater. So we have to be cautious and get our tickets early. March 23rd, March 24th. 25th, 26th. So we're going to get our tickets early. They range in price. The opening night is under $60, and the rest of the run, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, is under $40. Just go online and check it out. It's a coming of age young love in romantic 1950s Florence. And it's described as score full of beautiful melodies and Tuscan sunlight. It's perfect for what we're going through right now in this this rain-drenched Santa Barbara time. Don't turn that down. I'll be back in a minute. I want to hear from Vanya when we get back from the break, her idea of her support team. I think that's an important topic. Richard.
Yes, hey, Elizabeth. Richard.
Okay, let's go to quick break. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm celebrating The Light in the Piazza, Center Stage Theater, March 23rd to 26th. This is the Opera Santa Barbara featuring the young performers, the Christmas Studio Artists, that are extremely talented. We've been talking with a bunch of them. And Lena is going to just quickly close out our session by telling us about what she feels about her support group. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about how, you know, how important it is to have a great team around you. And I have to say that this team that makes up The Light in the Piazza has been an absolute thrill and a joy to work with. These young singers are just so talented. And I feel like there's so many times that people of my generation will always say, oh, back in the day of Tibaldi, back in the day. Well, you know what? We're living the day right now, because these young people know how to sing. They are so technically sound. They're dramatically on the top of their game. Incredible musicians. So I just feel very, very, very fortunate to have the opportunity to direct this gorgeous music, this gorgeous show, and be around this incredible environment of great artists. And from our stage manager, Courtney Michener, and Teresa Scarano, Stacey Logue, we were just all just pitching in, and we're doing this. And I just really, really would love to see packed houses this the weekend of performances. People, you don't want to miss this incredible, beautiful production. It was debuted back in 2003 in Seattle, and then had its Broadway debut in 2005. It's won a couple Tony Awards, and the music's glorious. I mean, Adam Gettle did it right. So
he also
Yeah, and he also reached out to us, the composer, and was very excited about what he saw and on our newsletter clip of Brooklyn, and was very kind to offer any advice or his services to us. So we're on his radar, and we're very excited about that. So thank you, Tim, for including me and for gathering these incredible singers together to give the Santa Barbara audiences just a wonderful, wonderful experience. If you don't come, people, you're going to miss out. I'm telling you, it's beautiful.
So let me just say, if you're interested, so I'm going to give you one more time, the Thursday, March 23rd at 7:30 p.m., Friday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. The Thursday performance includes a reception, which I think is really worthwhile. You get to meet and greet. Sunday, mm-hmm. March 25th at 7:30. Saturday, March 25th at 7:30. And Sunday, March 26th is the matinee. And so if there's children or older folks around, this might be the perfect time. Sunday,
totally,
March 26th
yeah.
at 2:30. And you can find tickets reasonably under $40. Opera Santa Barbara, to go online and check it out. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Timothy. And
thank you, Elizabeth. Thanks so much for having
us. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Christina, thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.